Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. And now here comes Rick with part one of a message called Showing Respect.
Today we're going to continue in our series on building my life on values that last. And we're looking at another one of those endangered character qualities that you don't find too often in our society. It's the quality of respect. We live in a very rude world. Would you agree with that? Just people are becoming more and more rude. Common courtesy isn't so common anymore. I read a couple articles. One was called America's Uncivil Wars, the decline of respect in America. And another one that I read was called The Age of Irreverence. And it seems that respect for other people, respect for property, respect for institutions is at an all-time low. And you look at how people have respected these institutions in the past, and today very few people respect the government, respect educational institutions, respect big business, respect the post office, respect law enforcement, respect religious institutions, and on and on and on. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that respect is one of those values that a stable family is built on, a stable life is built on. In fact, it's even the framework for a civilized society. If there isn't respect among people for rights and for responsibilities and for each other, then civilization decays. The Bible's real specific about this. It says that we are to honor our parents. That's the fifth commandment. We are to respect people in authority, like those in government, those in law enforcement, those in military. We are to respect church leaders, whether they wear socks or not. The Bible says that wives are to respect and reverence their husbands in Ephesians, and the Bible says in 1 Peter that husbands are to respect and reverence their wives. And just in case God forgets anybody, he says in the Bible, there in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's on your outline, he says, shows proper respect to everyone. To everyone. He says everybody is worthy of respect. Now, you want to be respected. That's one of your basic needs in life. You want other people to treat you with dignity. And so today we're going to look at how do you give and get respect, because they're the same thing. The way you get respect is the same way that you give it. And that's what we're going to look at today. But before we do, let me just quickly give you four reasons why the Bible says you should respect everybody, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of their decisions, regardless of their behavior or their beliefs. The Bible says every person should be treated with respect. Why? Four reasons. Number one, because God made everybody. God made everybody. Psalm 8:5 says, "You, God, made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor." Everybody's created by God, and God doesn't make junk. There are no worthless people. There are people who do worthless things. There are people who do wrong things, but they are all of value to God. And even the most unlovable person is loved by God. Number two, because Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. The Bible says God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. Now, I may not think much of somebody, but God does. In fact, he says they're worth dying for. And the cross shows how much people matter to God. God said, I died for people, even people who don't believe in me, even people who reject me, even people who choose to disobey me. He says, I still died for them because they're people of worth. They're people of value. God made them. Christ died for them. The third reason we should respect everybody is because it shows I know God. It shows that I really do know God. The Bible says that God is love, and if I know God, then I'm going to fill my life with love. 1 John 4:8 says, if a person isn't loving and kind, it shows that he doesn't know God, for God is love. And love always treats people with respect. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, he treated even his enemies with respect, even those who wanted to kill him. He wasn't rude to them. He wasn't demeaning to them. But he treated even the people who were trying to put him to death with respect. Now, if I'm filled with Jesus Christ's love, and if God is living through me, and Christ's Spirit is living through me, then I'm going to treat other people the way Jesus did. I'm going to treat them with value and with dignity. Yesterday morning, Kay and I had an argument. It's a typical marriage argument. It wasn't anything that we didn't, a big blow up, but we resolved it. But after that, we were talking, and I got to thinking that the number one test of my faith is my relationships. You might write that down. It's not what you believe or what you say you believe that matters as much as how that belief comes out in your behavior. The number one test of my faith is my relationships. Matthew 25, one of the things we'll be judged for at the judgment, it says, is how we treated other people. How we treated other people. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that love is not rude. So what's rudeness? I mean, we see it all around us, but what really is it? Well, at the bottom line, rudeness is simply disrespect. If I'm rude to you, it means I don't care about you. You don't matter to me. You're not worth much. You're not valuable in my eyes. When I'm rude, I'm just basically saying, I'm the only thing that matters. You don't matter. I do. So I just treat you with disgust or with disrespect, or I treat you rudely. Now, I thought today we would do a little survey on rudeness. Are you ready for this? I'm going to give you my top 10 forms of rudeness that irritate me, but I would like before that for you to turn to the person next to you and be rude. No. I want you to turn to the person next to you and mention one form of rudeness in our society that really irks you, okay? So turn to the person next to you. You may not know them or not. And just go, you know what really irritates me is. So take a minute and do that right now, okay? I'll wait. Go ahead. What really irritates me is. Okay, find somebody. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Some of you were saying, you know, what really irritates me is when I go to church and the pastor asks me to talk to the guy next to me. So I'm sorry. Here are my top 10 rude things that irritate me most. See if you agree with any of these. Number 10, people who phone you and ask, who's this, before identifying themselves. Does that bug you? You know, I go, who's this? I'm going to go, well, who are you? You called me. You know, I'm not telling you who I am till you tell me who you are. I just have a show a little courtesy. Number 9, people who slurp their soup. You see, I believe that soup should be seen and not heard. It's just a little thing I have. Number 8, people who honk their horn in a traffic jam that's going nowhere anyway. I mean, get a life. You know, honking the horn isn't going to get them to go any faster. Number 7, people who play heavy metal music at full volume on their boombox at the beach. Number 6, people who light their cigarette, then hold it back at your booth in the restaurant instead of smoking it. Now look, if you smoke, man, just go ahead and smoke it, okay? Just smoke. I mean, I don't want to smoke it. Hold it back there. You know, you just go ahead and smoke it yourself. Number 5, letting your children disturb everybody else at church. Number 4, people who take more than 10 items to express checkout. Does that bother anybody else? Yeah, well, it gets me. Number 3, people who litter my doorway with those little leaflets and door knocker things. I don't want it. You know, sorry, realtors, but, you know, just don't put it there. Number 2, people who leave church early during the special music. And number 1, people who come from opposite direction and steal my parking spot I've patiently waited for. You ever have that happen to you? You know, they come in the wrong way and grab your spot. I want to go, thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Yeah, and if you believe that, I got some stuff to sell you too. I need to treat everybody with respect because God made everybody. Jesus died for everybody. It shows I really know God. And number 4, because I'll get back whatever I give out. I need to be respectful because I will get back whatever I give out. It's the law of the harvest. It's the reciprocal rule. It's whatever goes around comes around. Now, whatever you want in life, the Bible has set it up in this way. God set it up. But whatever you want, you give out, you'll get back. If you want to be respected, it's real simple. Treat other people with respect. If you want to be treated and valued with dignity, it's real clear. Treat other people with value and dignity. If you want people to smile at you, you smile at them. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. The Bible says a man's harvest in life depends entirely on what he sows. You might write this verse down. Proverbs 11:17 says, you do yourself a favor when you're kind. In other words, it never pays to be rude. Great people, honestly, are just ordinary people who make people feel great. Great people make people feel great. And the most respected people are those who are the most respectful people. They show it, and so they receive it in life. Now, because of these four things, how can I show respect? In a world that's full of rudeness and disrespect, how can I show respect to others in a practical way? Let me give you five very practical ways to do this. On the back of your outline, number one, when I speak to other people, I need to be tactful, not just truthful. Be tactful, not just truthful. Because the primary way that we show respect is with our words. Look at this verse, Proverbs 15:4. Let's read it aloud together. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. Now, what he's talking about here is tactfulness. And tactfulness is a quality that we don't hear too much about today, about watching how you say what you say. Now, have you discovered that the way you say something determines how well it's going to be received? Sure. You can say the same thing in different ways and it'll be accepted or rejected. In fact, have you noticed that even inflection can change the meaning of a word? Well, of course it does. I mean, listen to this. Hello? 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 Hello! Different meaning every time. Different mood every time. The Bible says if you want to get along in life, the secret is tactfulness. It's the emotional lubrication of life. It is the thing that makes relationships go better. It reduces friction. It's the key to a happy home. It's a key to a happy marriage. It's the key to getting along in life with other people. It's the key to strong friendships. Learning how to be truthful and tactful at the same time is an absolute essential ingredient of being respectful. People with tact have often a lot less to retract, I've discovered. You don't have to eat your words so often if you say them in a kind way. Now, I collect definitions, and so this week I collected some definitions on tact. Tact is what you think, but don't say. Tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Tact is when someone tells you to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes you look forward to the journey. Tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about. Tact is the art of telling someone he's open-minded when he's just got a hole in his head. Tact is just changing the subject without changing your mind. Tact is speaking the truth in love. Now, some people today don't understand tactfulness. In fact, they often confuse rudeness with frankness. And they think they're being frank in the way they talk when actually they're just being rude. I mean, have you ever heard people say, well, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall where they may. It's not smart at all, folks, and that is certainly not frankness. Well, if I were to say to you, I just tell it like it is and let the chips fall, it basically says, I couldn't care less about you. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care if it demeans you or demoralizes you. I don't care at all about your reaction because all I care about is just saying whatever I want to say. Folks, that's not candor. That's rudeness. That's not being frank. That's being mean to people. It's being disrespectful. Whenever you're frank with people, and God wants you to tell the truth, you need to say it in a non-demeaning and a respectful way. Whenever you start to be frank with someone, you need to ask yourself, why am I going to say this? Why? Am I going to say this to destroy them or to develop them? Am I going to say it to build them up or to tear them down? Am I going to say this to make a point that I'm getting credit for, or am I doing this to try to find some common ground? Am I going to say this to protect people's dignity or to punish them? You see, a lot of times when we think we're being frank, we think we're having candor, we're just spouting off our anger. We're just venting our anger. And there's no value to that. That's nothing to be proud of. God says, be tactful and truthful at the same time. Number two, when I'm being served by people, I need to be understanding, not demanding. I need to be understanding, not demanding. One of the greatest tests of your character is how you treat people when they serve you. I'm talking about with waitresses or waiters, with clerks, with employees, with secretaries, with people who work for you, with your husband, with your wife, with children. When people are doing something for you, are you understanding or are you demanding? I often, when I'm hiring staff, take them to a restaurant and watch how they relate to the waitress. Because somebody who's rude and is demanding, not understanding, has a character flaw that we don't want. Luke tells us like this. Jesus said, do to others as you would have them do to you. You see, I like what Eric Hoffer says. He says, rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. That's good, isn't it? Rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Listen, it takes no intelligence at all to be rude. It's kind of like profanity. It's like cussing. It takes no IQ, no intelligence at all to cuss. I can teach a parrot with a pea brain how to say dirty words. So when you cuss, when you use profanity, that doesn't show your machismo, or if you're a woman, it doesn't show your assertiveness. It proves nothing about your intelligence. In fact, it takes no intelligence. It takes no character at all to cuss. It just means you have a limited vocabulary. On the other hand, it takes great character and great maturity and great strength to be understanding, not demanding of people. Really, the secret of service, of great service, is to treat people the way you would like to be treated. And when a waitress serves you, you be understanding that she may be under a lot of stress. She may have three kids at home and she's a single parent. Or the last three customers may have been rude to her. Or there's a slowdown in the kitchen because they got one cook instead of three, and it's not her fault. And if you're smart, if you're mature, you're understanding, not demanding, and you treat people with respect, you're sympathetic of their situations, you are considerate of their stress, and you treat them with value and with dignity. Now, of course, the best place to practice this is at home. More marriages are ruined, killed by rudeness than anything else. When I used to do marriage counseling, I was amazed at how many marriages are buried by one little dig after another. You know, just constantly putting down, constantly cutting, constantly being rude. And it's one little dig and another, you know, here a dig, there a dig, everywhere a dig, and pretty soon the marriage is buried. And it's over. Now, I don't know if this bothers you, but it bothers me. Why is it that sometimes we are the most disrespectful to the people that we love the most? I know people who treat their families in ways they would never consider treating a stranger. And they say hurtful things to their families that they would never consider saying to a stranger. That's not right. That's just not right. And so God says even in our families, we need to be understanding, not demanding. I was amazed when I read this. It's not a joke. It actually was a news article about a couple who actually got an annulment on the basis of the husband's rudeness. And the wife went to court, and she claimed that her husband burped all the time. And so she filed for annulment. And the wild thing is that the judge ruled in her favor and granted her an annulment on the basis that if the husband really loved his wife, she wouldn't burp so much if it annoyed her that much, that he should be more considerate. So if you're looking for a way out of your marriage, just start burping a lot, okay? Kind of reminds me, you know, I really like hot food, really spicy, hot food. In fact, I collect hot sauces, bottles of them. You know, some people, they collect these fine wines and they have them in there. I collect salsas and, you know, hot sauce. Now, none of this really wimpy stuff like, you know, jalapenos. You got to have habaneros or something really, you know, that gives you a spiritual experience when you taste it. You know, if folks, I don't just believe in hell. I eat it. Okay? You know, I eat it. All right? The only thing is, I don't know if you notice this, but really, really hot peppers makes your nose run. Have you noticed this? And folks, when my nose runs, it's not a pretty sight. And I have had to learn, you know, I used to just blow my nose at every meal, and Kay had to teach me as a young newlywed, you don't do that at the table. And I understand why, because I've seen other people do it now, and it kind of grosses me out. Like, <"Ugh." laughs> But what I'm saying is this, courtesy is just love in the little things. That's all it is. It's showing respect for people by being courteous in the little things. So be tactful, not just truthful. Be understanding, not demanding. And then when you meet people you disagree with, here's a third area to work on respect. Be gentle, not judgmental. When you disagree with people, be gentle, not judgmental. Now, as a believer in our society, there's a lot of things that I disagree with. And I'm sure there is you too. I mean, if you're a person who's really trying to do what God wants and follow His word, and in the scriptures there are things that says these are definitely right things and these are definitely wrong things. If you do the right, God puts His blessing on your life, things go better. If you don't, it causes all kinds of problems. So as a believer in today's world, there are a lot of things in our society I abhor. There are a lot of things in society that make me sick, that I disagree with, violently disagree with. But how am I supposed to react to these people? When somebody's my neighbor, or I work with them, or they happen to be a relative maybe, and they have a lifestyle choice or a decision or an action or attitude or behavior that I disagree with, in fact, I even know that it's wrong. How am I supposed to relate to these people? Well, I need to remember two things. Number one, I remember that ultimately, every individual will be accountable to God for their own attitudes, actions, and behaviors. I'm going to give an account to God, and so are you. And so one day, God's going to settle the score. One day, we're going to have to give an account for all of our actions to God. I need to remember that. The second thing I need to remember is, I'm not God. So those people are not accountable to me. And you're not God either. It is not my job to be a policeman running around trying to make everybody who's not a believer act like they are believers. In fact, the scripture says that people cannot act the way God wants them to act until they get God in their life. And He gives them the power to change, the power of Jesus Christ. So it's not my job to make people who aren't God's children act like God's children. It's not my job to personally clean up everybody's lifestyle. Now, notice this verse. Romans 14, 12. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. Now, remember I said at the beginning of this series that telling the truth is not being judgmental. There are people who are trying to make that today. Like if you say, this is right and this is wrong, then you're being judgmental. No, you're not being judgmental. You're just telling the truth. If I were to say, you know, drink strychnine and you'll die, that's not being judgmental, that's telling the truth. If I say, go out here on the freeway and stand on the first lane, you'll get run over, that's not being judgmental, it's telling the truth. If I tell a woman who's pregnant with a young child, baby, and she's snorting cocaine, I say, you do that, you're going to harm the baby, that's not being judgmental, that's telling the truth. If I tell people who are disobeying God's moral laws that it's going to cause all kinds of consequences in their life, that's not being judgmental, it's telling the truth. What is judgmental is when you take the truth and you beat people over the head with it and then you enjoy it. Because it makes you feel morally superior. No, you tell the truth to help people, to help them, to change them, to develop them. Not to harm them, to put them down, and to cause them to feel bad. Now, sometimes the truth does make me feel bad, but that's not my your fault for telling me. It's just the truth tells the truth. What I'm saying is this, is you can disagree with somebody without being disagreeable. And you don't have to devastate everybody you disagree with just because they're not doing what's right. Now, you can be right about something, but if you don't talk about it in love, it doesn't matter, because the Bible says, if you don't have love, it's a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Honestly, some of the rudest people I've ever met were overzealous Christians who were so committed to the truth, but they don't really care that much about people. People that Jesus died for. And so they beat people over the head with it all the time in a judgmental fashion. Now listen, you can be right on an issue, but if you're rude about it, you're wrong. Because Jesus and the Bible does not say the greatest of these is being doctrinally correct. The Bible says the greatest of these is love. And if you are not doing what you do in love, it is wrong. It's wrong. We are to be gentle, not judgmental.
I just want to say thank you for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Have you ever felt like you don't have a purpose in life? I think we've all felt that way. Because when you don't know your purpose in life, well, you just kind of end up drifting and you get bounced around from one storm to another, and you're just not sure who you were meant to be. You wind up looking for meaning in so many of the wrong places and living by values that the world thinks are important, but they can never lead to the meaningful life that God desires for you. So, to help you discover your purpose-filled life, the life you were meant to live, Pastor Rick has created a transformational Bible study called Building Your Life on Values That Last. Because when you base your identity and decisions on the eternal values revealed in God's Word, well, everything just falls into place, and you can lead the life of true success and significance that you were meant to have. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. And again, thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope means so much to us because it helps us share the hope of Christ with people all around the world. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.